Coming up on KUCB News, scientists want to share new research on the Makushan volcano, and seafood processors brace for another round of tariffs proposed on China. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, July 12, 2018. Almost 6 months ago, the Unalaska City Council agreed to suspend the search for a new director of public safety. The plan was to wait until officials had settled a long-time debate over restructuring the department and its leadership team. Now, Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson says they've been on hold for too long.
We shouldn't be leaving that department in limbo. We need to have a head at public safety, and we need them like yesterday.
Former Director Mike Holman retired in January. Since then, Jennifer Shockley has served as acting director. The questions at the heart of the holdup: should Unalaska's firefighters have their own department separate from the police force, or should both divisions continue under the consolidated Department of Public Safety? Given the complexity of those questions, Councillor Dave Gregory defends the delay.
Well, I think one of the issues is whether or not we hire a police chief who is in charge of the police department, or a public safety director who is in charge of police and fire and everything else. The requirements for that position are different. So I think it's prudent that city manager has taken his time.
The council has tasked city manager Thomas E. Thomas with researching options and making a recommendation. Thomas started work on the island 4 months ago and says he'll present a proposal soon.
In addition to acclimating myself to the organization, I've been working on an item for a future work session.
Acting Director Shockley declined to comment on potential restructuring, as did Fire Chief Ramona Thompson. The City Council's next meeting is scheduled for July 24th. Makushan Volcano has been quiet for decades, but scientists still keep a careful eye on the active summit just 16 miles from Unalaska.
We have been trying to investigate the explosive history of Makushan Volcano since the glaciers retreated about 10,000 years ago.
Janet Schaefer is a researcher with the State Division of Geophysical Surveys and the Alaska Volcano Observatory. This month, she's led a team to Unalaska to continue efforts at mapping Makushan's behavior.
We look at the chemistry and we try to determine patterns, like what caused that big crater-forming eruption? What happened before it? You know, what's happening now? How would we be able to tell if something large like that was going to happen again?
Schaefer is hosting a lecture at the Museum of the Aleutians to share that research with the community. The free talk starts tonight at 7 o'clock at the museum. The Trump administration has proposed $200 billion in new tariffs on China, upsetting markets worldwide. Michael Cohen of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute says that may affect Alaska fish.
This last recent development on July 11th, the U.S. is going to impose 10% tariff on imports from China, which could include Alaska seafood product that has gone to China for reprocessing and then is being imported into the U.S. for the domestic market.
Alaska processors often head and gut fish and send them to China for secondary processing before they're exported back to the U.S. or to other countries. Last month, China announced it would increase tariffs on American seafood products in response to those set earlier by the U.S. Industry analysts said seafood reprocessed in China and exported back to the States would be exempt from those tariffs, but this new announcement looks to have changed that. It would be a major shift, as China is a billion-dollar trading partner for Alaska seafood and a central sector for reprocessing. While ASME has been active in the Chinese market for more than 20 years, Cohen says that could change thanks to the new markups.
We have a large international market that we can apply our seafood to. So as much as we are focusing on China right now, there are growing markets in other countries around the world we will be trying to be able to develop markets that will enhance Alaska seafood in these markets that are growing in countries like Spain and Brazil.
The latest proposed tariffs would go into effect in September. Pollock, salmon, and Pacific cod, which make up the bulk of seafood sent to China for reprocessing, are all included on the tariff list. Meanwhile, seafood processors are grappling with a problem that's loomed large over the industry in the past few years, an increasing demand for H-2B visas to fill jobs at the plants. KDLG's Izzy Ross reports.
I've always heard we don't have the population to staff these up. Flying in, I have a different view of whether or not you have the population. It is literally impossible.
That's U.S. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta. At the end of June, he and the Alaska congressional delegation traveled to King Salmon to meet with seafood processors and transportation companies from Bristol Bay and around the state. As the meeting got underway, it became clear that one issue was on everyone's mind, H-2B visas. Finding people willing to work long, grueling hours in remote locations is challenging. Many companies recruit year-round. They start by reaching out to Alaskans and workers from the lower 48.
So returning rates for salmon plants, oftentimes in Bristol Bay we get 15%, and we're lucky. We have a group of about 7 recruiters who work year-round to find these people and try to get them to us.
But while 65 to 70% of industry workers in Bristol Bay are domestic, processors can't hire enough people from the U.S. alone, so they turn to workers from abroad. Glenn Reed is the president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association, which represents many Bristol Bay processors.
We do start our recruiting with job fairs and working with the state of Alaska Seafood Employment Program to hire Alaskans. We always get a few people out of Alaska, but not a very large number. I would say that 50 of job fairs in the state employment program would be a large number. We always hire whatever workers we can out of Alaska first, and we're quick in the need for quite a few more workers than that, thousands.
To close the labor gap, processors have increasingly relied on the H-2B visa program. This allows companies to hire temporary workers from other countries. But with increasing demand for visas among seasonal industries like landscaping and tourism, some processors are struggling to obtain any visas at all. The program is capped at 66,000 visas annually, split between the first and second part of the fiscal year. But while the number of available visas has stayed the same for years, national demand has increased dramatically. On March 1st, United States Customs and Immigration Services announced that in the first 5 days, they received approximately 2,700 H-2B cap subject petitions requesting about 47,000 workers for the second half of the fiscal year, thousands more than the number of visas available. This prompted them to implement a lottery system to distribute visas to companies nationwide for the first time. The Department of Homeland Security also added 15,000 additional visas at the end of May, which they had added in 2017 as well. Some say the increased demand for H-2Bs in the seafood industry is because processors were removed from the J-1 visa program in 2013. Others point to low unemployment in the lower 48, which means fewer people willing to move for a temporary job. North Pacific Seafood's CEO Dave Hambleton says that increased competition hits salmon processors especially hard. Processors in other industries that operate year-round can apply on January 1st, while salmon processors can only apply 3 months before the start of the season. Once granted, visas are valid for a year, giving workers in year-round plants the flexibility to go home between seasons. Combined, these factors create tough conditions for players throughout the industry. Chris Lynch is the vice president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association.
They may think that they can produce a certain amount if they're operating at capacity, but if they don't have the number of workers that they planned on, and they don't know that until the last minute, if their application is delayed or if there's a hiccup in the process, it just makes it difficult to plan. And if they do need to adapt to a lower capacity of their workforce, then that might mean making decisions about what products they produce. They might have to shift to lower value products. Certainly they're producing less volume as well, so they're able to sell fewer products. And there's a real ripple effect that takes place through the industry.
Remedies to the H-2B shortfall range from implementing quarterly deadlines to reinstating a returning worker exemption. According to Hambleton of North Pacific Seafoods, what processors need most now is certainty. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Unalaskans can celebrate this weekend at the annual Party in the Parks. The city's Department of Parks, Culture, and Recreation is hosting an evening of food and games this Saturday at Expedition Park. The event starts Saturday at 5:30 and is open to the entire community. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.